Okay, everybody, say today's daf is daf mem, the final daf in Perek Ein Mamidin, as well as the final daf of the first volume of the Art Scroll. Baruch Hashem. And we're holding Lamed Tes Amid Beis, the final three lines, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Betirias She'ena Trufa. You recall in the prior Mishnah, we spoke about Tirias Trufa. Tirias Trufa, Tirias means a fish, trufa, which was minced, which means they made it into small, little pieces. Not much different than our cans of tuna fish. Those of you that are familiar, tuna fish is a very, very big fish. And what they do is they grind it up or cut it up or mince it up into small little pieces, and they put it into the cans. So we had in the previous Mishnah that tirias trufa, you cannot go and eat unless you know for sure that it's kosher fish. So if you buy it, l'moshel, from a goy, or even from a Jew who is not a mumcha, who doesn't know what he's doing, there might be some non-kosher fish mixed in with the kosher fish. Our Mishnah, which is here, we learned it yesterday, a little bit higher up on the Amud Beis, Tiryas She'ena Trufa is Mutar B'Achila. So Posh Pshat, Eina Trufa means that you have a ganze fish which hasn't been sliced, not minced, not crushed, not ground, gunished. It's a regular fish. But if that's the case, what's the chiddush? V'shteitzach, if you have a full fish, and you see it, that it has its fins and scales, and everything is great, of course it's kosher. I don't need the Mishnah to tell us that. Muzach sign that the Mishnah is really telling us that it was cut up to a certain degree, but it still was recognizable, it was discernible, that the fish is kosher fish. So how are you able to tell? It's Tanur Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, state in the Braisa, Ezi Tirya She'ena Trufa, which means it was cut up to a certain degree. But nevertheless, it's Mita La'achila, says Yimar Kol Sheroish V'Shedra Nikar. If you can make out the head and the spine of the fish, then it's okay. Now, what does that mean, the head and the spine? So Rashi tells us something very fascinating. You look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Kosher Oish V'Shedra Nikarim. Shel Kol Dag V'Dag. Every dag that you want to go and eat, you might have, for instance, a large barrel of numerous fish, and you take out one of the fish and you want to eat from it, you have to be able to see that that dag, says Rashi, She'adogim Nikarim B'Roishon, Bein Tomei LaTohar. We always thought, based on what it says in the Torah, that the way to distinguish between kosher fish and non-kosher fish, if it has snapir v'kaskeses, fins and scales. Our Bryce is machadish, Rabbi Yisai, that you can tell the difference between a kosher fish and a non-kosher fish with other simanim. What are those other simanim? Look, the Heidegger Rashi. Sha'atmeim roshayen chadin. A dag tome, the head is not wide, but it's rather, it comes to a point. Chad means that it's sharp. But sharp means here that it comes narrow to a point. The Eilem Chetashet. I'm sorry?
You made a good point there.
I made a good point. Thank you. I was just hoping you were going to say that this is not a fishy story. But Lamas, we're talking about the Tameim Rashayim Chadin, that the head comes to a point. And the Eilem Chetashedra. And a dag tome does not have a chutashedra, a spine. Ah, so therefore, Zokti Gemara, when it says in our Mishnah that Tiryas, She'ena Trufa is kosher, it's talking about, says the Gemara, She'roish v'shedra nikar, meaning that the roish is a roish of a kosher fish. This is bright, it's wide, it does not come narrowly to a point. And number two, that it does have a shedra. We're going to see a mitzvah in another moment on the Umar Aleph. There'll be a machloikis amayrum. Do you have to have both simonim, that both that the roish is that of a kosher fish, wide and bright, and also that it has a shedra, or is one of the two enough? That will be a machloikis we're going to have in another minute in Yet Hashem.
But a shark, both has a spine and it has, does not have a pointy head.
Yeah, the article points out that one has to figure out how that works in Metzius, because as you say, there are a lot of non-kosher fish which do not come to a point, but that do have big heads, and that do have a chut shedra after all. And he points to various references to look it up, why, what the pshat is in the Gemara. We're just going to learn Pasha Pshat as far as the metzias of kosher fish and non-kosher fish. For that, you're going to have to do a little bit more due diligence and research. But the Braisa continues on. Now, what does that mean? If we go back to the Mishnah again, about 12 lines higher up, you see in the Mishnah, towards the end of the Mishnah, three lines from the end of the Mishnah, Tiryah She'en Trufa, which we just spoke about, V'tzir She'yesh Badoga. Now, what does that mean, Tzir She'yesh Badoga? Really, Ikachusim and Asefer, because they should add another word, She'yesh Badoga, Kilbis. Why am I saying that that's Ikachusim and Asefer? Because if you go back to Lamed Hei Omed Beis, when we had the list of Eilu Dvarim, that are asurin, that you're not allowed to eat. So the Gemara, the Mishnah brought, tzir she'ein ba doga kilbis shoytetes boy. If you have tzir, tzir means fish yoach or fish brine, in which you have many, many fish. For instance, you have a large container, a large barrel full of fish, and they're all either swimming around or they are already dead. In this large tzir, this big bucket, this big barrel having in it the fish yoach, the fish sauce, with all the dogim in it. Depends whether it also has in it a doga kilbis. Now what exactly is a doga kilbis? So Rashi there on Lamed Hey already told us, but Rashi here on the bottom of Lamed Tes, the last line, you see Rashi says, kilbis, gedela me'eleha, this is a fish that grows on its own, betzir dogim tohirim, and it exists in the tzir, the brine, the fish yoch of kosher fish. The im yesh tzir dag tamei, shouldn't be dogim, dag tamei. If mixed in with this tzir, there's also a non-kosher fish, ain kilbis kedela boy. The kilbis says, I'm out of here. A dog, a kilbis only grows. Mind you, Rashi doesn't say here, but on Lamed Hei Omed Beis, Rashi says the dog, a kilbis is a non-kosher fish. And he only feels comfortable swimming around in tzir of kosher fish. Once there's one other non-kosher fish there, the kilbis says, I'm out of here, I'm not interested. I don't mean literally I'm out of here, because the way Rashi learns, it's gedoyla me'eleo, which means it grows spontaneously, not as a result of the mating of a male and female fish. So therefore the kilbis, Kodesh Baruch Hu made in the teva of the doga kilbis, that even though it's a non-kosher fish itself, it will only swim around in tzir of dogim tohirim. Once there's one dag tamei, the kilbis is not present. So therefore, in our Mishnah, when we said that Elu Mutarim Bachila, you have a tzir sheyesh by doga, that means you have this kilbis fish that's swimming around, muzduch zayin, that the rest of the fish are kosher fish, otherwise the kilbis would not be there. So that's what the Gemara explains, back bottom line, v'ez a tzir sheyesh by doga, kosher kilbis achas, v'shtei kilbiois, shoytetois boy, if you find in that barrel one or two kilbis fish swimming around, then you know for sure it's a tzir of kosher fish, and therefore the whole barrel kosher fish. Freit Timara, hashe kilbis achas oy amarta shori shtei kilbiyos mi boye. Why does the Braisa have to go and tell us kilbis achas shtei kilbiyos? Once you say that there's one non-kosher kilbis fish swimming around, all the other fish are kosher. So what do you have to talk about? Two fish, one is enough. Everything more like kasha can be psuchos, can be stumos. It depends whether you're talking about open barrels or you're talking about sealed barrels. Vos is the nafkimina. So Rashi says on the top line, chavias psuchos loisagi bechoda. The fact that you have an open chavias that has in it, chavias of course is a barrel that has tzir and has all these dogim in it, and you find one doga kilbis, that's not a raya. The iklameima me alma nofel bay. Consigned that there was no kilbis there originally, but the kilbis swam, came to this chavius on its own. In other words, it was somewhere else. It smelled tzir of dogim toyrim, and then the doga kilbis says, oh, this is mana chevra, these are my people that I want to be with, and then it jumps in from somewhere else into this chavius. And if that's the case, when it comes in, it may decide, nah, this is not the tzir that I thought it was. And therefore, he wants to move out very quickly. The only way that you can go and tell that this is tzir of dogim tohirim, if you have at least two. Because if you only have one, I'm afraid that that Doga Cubis might be there by accident, that it fell in from somewhere else. However, if it's Stumais, if the barrel is sealed, and I open it up, and I find the Kilbis over there, I know why the Kilbis is there, because the Kilbis is like an Eid Echa telling us that the rest of the fish are all kosher fish, and it didn't fall in from somewhere else, because the barrel has been sealed for a while. Zokti Mara, third line. We leave for a moment the Kilbis. We're going to talk more about the Kilbis in the bottom of the Amid. We come back to the beginning of the Braisa about the Tiryah She'ena Trufa, that we said you have to have Roish Vishedra Nikarim. Itmar, Rav Huna Omar Chitei Roish Vishedra Nikar. If you happen to have such a big barrel of fish, and you want to know whether it's kosher fish, non-kosher fish, what you can do is look at both the Roish, make sure it's not Chad, make sure that it's wide and bright and not narrow, not pointy, and make sure that there's a Shedra. Once you have both Simonim, kosher. Rav Nachman Omar, Oy Roish, Oy Shedra. You don't have to have both. One of the two is sufficient to establish the kashrus of the fish. Frey Timara, Mosav Rav Ukva Bar Choma. Ubedogim. Now this is a Mishnah Mesechtes Chulin. That, as you know, in Mesechtes Chulin, there are whole parokim that deal with not only fish, but also, of course, with animals, their simanim, with the chogav and their simanim. Remember, we learned the other day that every chogav has to have four simanim. So we also talk about the dogim. What are their simanim kashras? Koshiesh lo snap and v'kaskes. And of course, this is written in the Torah, both in Parsha Shmini and Parsha Re'ei. It has to have simanim of fins and scales. So Zokt Rashi, what the Gemara is asking is on both madiyamim. We had Rav Huna that says that the kisimanim are Roish v'shedra. Rav Nachman says it's all either Roish or Shedra. What are you talking about? That's not the simanim of the Torah. The simanim are snapir v'kaskeses. Amar Abayis. Abayis says, of course, no question that you have snapir v'kaskeses. But kitanya hi, what we're talking about is bi'ara u'palmuda. Ara v'palmuda are two types of kosher fish. The domu reishayu l'tmein. That their heads look like those of Tmeim. What means that they look like those of Tmeim? That their heads, in fact, do come, they are narrow and come to a point. Well, normally this would not be the case. Normally we say by kosher fish that they are rochav, they're bright, they are wide, not narrow. That's what the Mishnah says. When you have kosher fish that seem to have a non-kosher simen of these narrow heads, then make sure that it has snapir v'kaskeses. But if in fact you have, but if in fact you're going to talk about, give the Bissel name to, if you want, you can also take a coffee, Rebel. Okay, git. Is if you're talking about Arva Palmuda, which are kosher fish, which domur eshayle to mayim, then the Mishnah tells you, check out the snapper of kaskasis. However, if you have your normal, regular kosher fish that has a broad head and or a shedra, then it's kusha, you don't even need to look for the snapper v'kaskeses. Om Rav Yudah Meshvei De'ula, Machloikis, the Machloikis that we just had between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna says you have to have Roish v'shedra. Rav Nachman says, Oy Roish, Oy Shedra. That's a Machloikis letabel b'tziran. To go and dip in a shtikel chala, a shtikel broit, into the tzir. Tzir is that brine, that fish brine, in which all of these fish are laying there in the barrel. Al begufan, if you want to eat from a fish itself, divriakol osra chei roish v'shedra nikar. Ah, so what the Gemara is telling us now, b'shem refuta mishmei de'ula, you come across this big barrel full of fish, and they are not just sitting there by themselves, they're in fish brine to preserve them to a certain extent. Now, there are two choices. You might want to take from the tzir. You're not going to take from the tzir a cup and start drinking it, but what you might do is take a piece of challah and dip it in, just like many of us do when you're eating fish, l'moshel on Shabbos. And then you have, besides the fish, you have what they call in Yiddish, fish yoach, which is also known in English, it's called fish sauce. So you dip in the challah, ah, geschmack, it's so delicious, etc., etc. So that's what we're talking about, the table b'tziran. That's where the machloikis is. Do you have to have both simonim or one simonim? But if you want to eat the fish itself, which is in this barrel with all of this fish sauce, and you want to take ashtikel fish, oh, then it's also actually a shroish v'shedra nikah. You have to have both Rabbi Yisai, both the Roish and the Shedra. Then you're wondering to yourself, what difference does it make? If it's Kusha, it's Kusha. If it's not Kusha, it's not Kusha. Why by Guf do you have to have both Simonim? And why by Tzir do you only have to have one Simon? That's not my Kasha. As we pray, the Toysis. Toysis, right smack in the middle of the Omid. You see, the third Toysis, Machloikis, with Tzir, Abba, Beguf, and Loivim, Toymar. Vatzir and Nami Yisir, dear Aisa. The Tzir, if it's non-Kosher fish sauce, then it's also Minat Toira, Kinomrinan. Mishnah, Gemara, Mesech, Skul, and Hatzmeim, the Rabbi, Tzir, and Meroitfan. Vyesh Loimar. The Vadai, dear Aisa, Tziran, Osur. Miut Tziran, Bottle, Beroiv. The Guf and Loi Bottle. The burial loy betayla. Avad tzir is just like fish in the sense that they're both osim and atoira. If you have non-kosher fish or you have non-kosher fish yoach tzir, avad they're both osim and atoira. No difference. The only thing is, the gabi the tzir, if you're looking inside the barrel and you see that roiv rubai of the fish all happen to be kosher fish, so mamela the tzir will be bottle beroiv and you can rely on that the tzir is kosher. However, the gabi the goof, since we're talking about big fish, we're not talking about, when I say big fish, we're talking about entire whole fish. We're not talking about slices of fish. We're talking about whole fish inside this barrel. No, it's the chaberia. A beria does not become bottle beroiv or even be'elef because of the fact that beria loy bottle. Ah, so therefore getting back to our gemara. By the tzir, because it is more lenient, it's more kuladik, that becomes bottle beroiv. If you only need one simon altogether to establish that it's kosher, but by the guf, which is a beria, which doesn't become bottle beroiv, oh, then you have to make sure that this is 100% kosher. So you have to have both roish v'shedra nikar. Rav Zeira. So based on this, Rav Zeira tells about himself. Meresh, originally, before I learned the daf today, have madbilna betziran. Whenever I found such a barrel of fish, and I saw one of the simonim on the fish inside the barrel, either it had roish, which was broad and not narrow, or I saw that the fish had a shedra, once I saw that, I would go and toivel my chala into the tzir, and eat it without any shilas. Why? Because I had assumed, says Rashi, that the machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman was fakered by gufon. If you want to eat from the fish itself, do you have to have both simonim? Or is one simon enough? Oh, but by tzir, I assume that everybody agrees that it is kusha. See, if you go back to, remember, what was the machlokes? Go back to the third line. Itmar ravuna oma chetei roish v'shedra nikar. You have to have both. Rav Nachman oma oi roish oi shedra. One is enough. But they didn't say whether we're talking about the fish itself or they're talking about the tzir of the fish. So Rav Yehuda Mishmei de Ula said the machloikis is a gabe tziron, but gufan de biyakoil osur. You have to have both roish vishedra. Says Rav Zeira, initially when I learned this machloikis, I didn't know of Rav Yehuda Mishmei de Ula, and I thought the machloikis is just the opposite. That the machloikis is the gabe gufan, whether you have to have two simonim or one simon. But by tziron, I assume that everybody agrees one simon is enough, and therefore I was toivul b'tziron just based on one simon, either the roish or the shedra. Getting back to the Gemara, says Rav Zeira, "Vakivin shmana lahodiyam Rav Yehuda." Now that I heard Rav Yehuda mishmei de ula, the machloikis letabel b'tziron, the machloikis legabe the tzir, beguf and divrei akoil osur achihei roish v'shedra nikar. Ah, so the machloikis is legabe tzir. Says now, Reb Zeira, I no longer eat the tzir until I see two simonim. Betzira nami loit matbilna. Why not? Says Rashi, because I hold like Rav Huna. Rav Huna says achetehei roish v'shedra nikar. So initially, I thought that Rav Huna was talking the gabe guvan, and even he agrees the gabe tzir one is enough roish oishedra. But now that Ula says that the machloikis is the gabe tzir. And therefore, Rav Huna, when he said you have to have both, he's talking about the tzir. No, I baz oi. I'm not going to toivel anymore. I'm not going to use the tzir as a dip for my challah or my bread or whatever until I know that the entire barrel, everything is kusha v'yusha roish v'shedra nikar.
So I just said before, goes on this also.
What do you mean?
In other words, Tosis just said that the Batsiran is only when the seed is not a rose.
Right.
It's only when the seed is butl
b'rov. Right, right.
Over here, that means his din is only talking about when it was a rov. He never used seed.
I think what Tosis is saying is that avada legabe tzir min ha-toira, it's the same din, just like the dog itself. You have to have, according to Rav Huna, both simonim. The only thing is that tzir has a leniency, a killer, vis-a-vis the guf. The guf, you always have to have, according to everybody, both simonim, because a barrier doesn't become butl. The tzir, b'di'eved, l'chayre, would become butl b'roiv if you find that there are many fish inside this barrel that have simonim. So maybe I can even rely on one simon alone. Rav Nachman Tzaka says, yeah, one simon is taki genuk, since it's much more kiladik, because it's butl b'roiv.
Tzir is always
mir. Uh-huh.
It's not that, okay.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
You're saying
that
tzir is always
mir. Okay. Rav Yosef Bleier is now being medactic in allusion to Tosis, what he means to say that tzir is always butl b'roiv, or it has that mala legabi, or that killer legabi gufan, that at least at times it's butl b'roiv. So Tosis doesn't say clearly what the story is over here, so we can bite the clan when you look in the Mephoshim further on this point. But getting back to our Gemara now, Omer HaPupa, Hilchasa, what's the halucha? Ad sheyehei roish v'shedra nikar shokol achas v'yachas. We talk a paskin like Ravina, that you need both roish v'shedra, and it's got to be nikar al kol achas v'yachas, meaning that if you have this big, big barrel full of 50 fish or whatever, you can't go and say, I already checked out 49 fish. Every one of them had roish v'shedras kusha v'yushet. You got to look at every one of kalachas v'yachas. Like Tosis said, since it's a barrier, it does not become butl b'roiv afilu be'elif. You have to check each and every one when you want to eat from the fish. You're telling me you have to have a kalachas v'yachas. We learned in a braisa chaticha ishi. I'm sorry?
According to this, not for the tzir.
What do you mean by
that? According to what we're talking about, even when he holds it, you have to have Rosh Kolech Ve'echad, only for the fish. But not for the tzir, maybe, it's still doodle.
It Rashi doesn't address that point. You're correct. Rabbi Yosef is pointing out that the Gemara doesn't say in Rapupa's Halacha whether we're talking about to be matir only the fish themselves, or even for the tzir, do you have to have a nikra shel kolachas v'yachas. But Miyat Hashem, we're going to see another few lines. The Gemara is going to address this as well. But the Gemara at the moment is silent on this point. But we're going to get to it. Meisvei, shtei in the braisa, chatichois, sheish ben simen, bein bekilon, bein bemiktusan, vefilu bi'achad mi'meyesheben, kilon mi'turois. So notice we start off with chatichois. Chatichois means they're already cut. If you've ever gone to your fishmonger or wherever you get your fish, and you see how they go and take a long fish, and you say, I need 5 slices for Shabbos, 10 slices. He goes and slices it up, one after the other. So you have a whole bunch of slices of fish. Now you find these 5, 6, 10 slices of fish inside, lemushel, a barrel with a lot of fish yoch, with all the tzir. Voshtei don the braisa, as long as there's a simon, bein bekulan, on all, or bein mektusan, or even on some of them. Now what would that mean? Obviously, if you're talking about cut up slices, you don't see the roish. And for that matter, you don't see the spine. It's cut up into individual slices. But this is going back on the snap of the kaskeses. And what it's telling us is, if you find that one of them has the scales, the kaskeses, you don't have to check on all the others. Because you see that the slices seem to be all from one fish. You don't know for sure. You find them in the barrel. But the braisa says, as long as one of them has that kaskeses, presumably also with the snapper, so you know for sure that one is sicha kusha, then you could assume that all of the fish, all of these slices, are from one long, long, long fish, and therefore they're all mutter. And in fact, says Yimara, there was a goy, shehevi gorov, gorov means a barrel, shol chatichois, full of slices of fish, and they found takasimon on one of them, the snap of the kaskesis on one of the slices, but didn't you just tell me now that you have to have a simon, it has to be nikr kolachas v'yachas, on a pupa. Everything we're taking on a pupa It's talking about that all the slices are nicely sliced, exactly the same. In other words, like we were talking about before, you go to the fishmonger, you give him a longer fish, and he slices it, and then if you put them all together, you can imagine in your head, oh, this is taka de ganze fish, and it was sliced nicely into nice slices. And therefore, the assumption is it's all one fish, and that's why you don't need to go and check out each individual slice. If it's taka true, that if you took all these slices together and you put them together, you can see the original fish. So what's the chiddush? Once you find that one slice has a kushra simunim, all the others are slices from the same fish. I would think, maybe pinked, it looks like the same. After all, many fish are more or less the same volume, the same size, the same weight, and therefore, even though all of these fish slices look like they come from the same fish, it could be that a couple of fish slices are from another fish, and they just happen to be more or less the same size. Kamash malan, nah, you don't have to worry about that. As long as they look all uniform from the same fish, you find simanim on one, all of them are kosher. But that's because they are chatichos. But before we weren't talking about chatichos, we were talking about individual fish. There Apopa says you cannot rely on individual fish because the fish on the right and the fish on the left happen to have simunim. That doesn't help you for the other fish. Every fish has to be b'fnei atzmoi, roish v'shedra, nikr shukol achas v'yachas. Break the money at Samasa. Mahu arva. Arva means a boat. Titzachanta, that brought in large containers of tzachanta fish. You're wondering, is tzachanta fish a kosher fish or not? You recall we had this yesterday in the Gemara. Rashi said that tzachanta, back on Lamites Omer Aleph, means chilek. And you'll remember that we had in the Mishnah that chilek fish is kosher fish. What's so special about chilek fish? Chilek fish, when they are initially created by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, by the fish, they do not have simonim. Lahavdil, it's like a boy and a girl that only develops simone saris when she is 12 and he is 13. But until that point, they're ketan. Zelbazach legabe the chilek fish, when it's initially created, no snapper, no kaskeses. Gunisht. Oh, mitetzat. I don't know how long it takes, whether it takes 3 months, 6 months, a year. Eventually, it gets snapper kaskeses. And therefore, the Chum said, it's kosher. Even though b'shas masa, there's no snapper of kaskeses. Now, the fact that it developed later, it's kosher. And that's chilek, is the same thing as that tzachanta that we're now talking about. She says in Gemara, who arved the tzachanta? You had a boat full of these tzachanta fish, the chilek fish, to osi l'sichra, that came to the town of Sichra. Nofek Rav Huna bar Chinina v'choze be kalfi. Rav Huna bar Chinina found kalfi. Kalfi means kaskeses. And where did he find the kaskeses? On the boat or in the container where all this fish is. Vishari said, Rabbi Yisai, it's all kusha v'yusha. Nothing to worry about. Now, what normally do you have to worry about when it comes to chilek fish? So the previous Mishnah and the previous Gemara told us that the chilek fish, since it does not have snapper for kaskeses, initially, it's kosher, but it has a lot of goyisha friends, meaning non-kosher fish that don't have snapper for kaskeses, and they say the chilek fish, oh, it also does not have snapper for kaskeses, and therefore all of these fish become friends, and they're not anti-Semitic against the kosher fish, because they say, he doesn't have snapper kaskeses, I don't have snapper kaskeses, and they're all best friends. That's why by the chilek, you have to be mechalek between those fish that are kosher chilek fish without snapper kaskeses, and its friends, which are non-kosher fish, which will never develop snapper kaskeses. So therefore, says our Gemara, since Rav Huna bar Chinina saw in the container that they were kalfi, these kaskeses, he says, I don't have to worry about it. I can assume that all the fish in this container, when they're alive or if they're dead, makes no difference. I see all of these fish. I can assume that these are all the chilek fish, and these are kalfi that fell off of the chilek fish. So Toisus asks, how can I rely on that? The Mishnah said that the chilek fish has all of these non-kosher friends. So if you look at the Toisus v'chodze be kalfi v'sharia, It's about two lines lower than where we are in the Gemara. You looked at the fish and you could tell that all of the fish were one species, one min. Once you find the kalfi inside that container, that means that these kalfi must have fallen off of one or more of these fish. Some of them are a little bit older and they develop kaskesis. Some of them fell off and they're in this container. And all the fish look exactly the same. Kushim yushim. Aye, we're going to have Rav in a moment that said that it's not kosher. Maybe when this fish was inserted in this large container, there were already kaskeses from the last shipment of fish. In other words, they reused these containers, these large barrels. Maybe on the bottom of the barrel, there were kaskeses from last year's shipment or a month ago's shipment. All of those fish had already been consumed, sold out, and now they filled it with brand new fish. Maybe all these brand new fish are non-kosher fish. They look exactly all the same. That's true. But there's no snap of the kaskesis on the fish. So you're going to tell me, yeah, but there's down below kaskesis. That's from the earlier shipment. So let's go back to Iman. How arvaditzachanta? We have this boat full of the chilek fish. Also the sichra that came to the town of sichra. Nofik Ravuna Bachin Nevachosu Bekalfi. He saw that there were kaskesis there in the barrel. Vashari said, "Boysai, kusha mamegisas." Omli Rava umi ika deshori ki haygavna. How are you matir Ravuna Bachinna in such a case? Be asra deshchichi kalfi in a place where you have many kosher fish being transported from place to place to place, and therefore it's very shayich that this barrel has kaskasim from an earlier shipment. So how can you automatically jump to conclusions that all of this fish is kosher? And therefore, Rava was very upset at Rav Huna bar Chinina, and Nofik Shipuri the Rava. Rava went out, the word Shipuri over here means Shoifrois, and the Shoifrois means that when one of the Rabbanan at that time wanted to make a major proclamation or declaration, they had the Shoifrois blowing, and then everybody knew, oh, I have to listen. What are they announcing? The Asar. And he said that this fish that just came now to Sichra, nobody should even think about getting close to the fish. They are not kosher. On the other hand, remember, Rav Huna bar Chinina held that they were kosher, and he had his own bezin and his own shoifreis. Shipuri de Rav Huna bar Chinina, they blew the horn, they blew the shoifer. Bishori, that is kosher. Om Rav Yirmiya, midifti. Lididi omali Rav Papi says, Rav Yirmi Bidifti, Rav Papi told me, Kishor Rav Huna bar Chinna Betziron al Begufan Lai. This is to address the point that Rav Yosef Bleier was making before, that it doesn't say clearly in the Gemara, are we talking about the Tzir? Are we talking about the Guf? Says Rav Yirmiya, I heard from Rav Papi that when Rav Huna bar Chinna was matir, that Arba Tzachanta, the boat that came in with all the fish, what was Yimater Betziron? Remember, we had the toises that said before, because the tzir by definition is more kuladik, because it can be bottled beroiv, masha enkin the gufan is buried. Om Ravashi, lididi omali Rav Papa, says Ravashi, I heard from Rav Papa, kishor Ravuna bar Chinna, when he was matir, afilu begufan, not only betzir, but even beguf. So there's a machloikis, how far reaching was the heter of Rav Huna bar Chinina on this shipment of Tzachanta, based on the kalfi, on the kaskesis that they found at the bottom of the barrel? Is it only a heter for tzir, or even begufan? Zokyetz Rav Ashi, this is Omer Rav Ashi speaking, v'ano, I, Rav Ashi, lo yimeser asrina, I'm not going to ask the fish to k'omali Rav Papa, because Rav Papa said that we aser afilu begufan, v'lo yimeser asrina, and I'm not going to be matir. Why? The Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmei de Ula is what we had earlier on the top of the Omer, that the Machloik is the top of the Tziran. So he, Rav Yehuda Mishmei de Ula, said the Machloik is the Gabi the Tzir, and the Gabi Guf, everybody agrees, you have to have full simonim on Kol Echad V'Echad. So I cannot go and be Matir, because Rav Yehuda Mishmei de Ula says, you can't be matir. You have to see simonim on every shtickle fish and every otherwise, we can't shes. On the other hand, I cannot go and say li isur, because Rav Papa said that Rav Huna bar Chinna was matir afilu begufan. And therefore Ravashi says is, I have these two great giants. I have Ula on the one hand that says, beguf, everybody agrees, you have to have Simon b'kalecha v'yechad. And I have Ravuna bar Chinna that was matir, even begufan, according to Rapapa. So I have the two extremes, are the guf mutter, based on just the kaskesis on the bottom of the container. Or do you have to have a simon b'kalecha v'yechad? And therefore Ravashi says, I'm going to remain neutral. I'm not going to go and pass in the heter. I'm not going to pass in the iser. Everybody should do whatever they feel is right based on their own local competent Orthodox rabbi. In other words, either if you follow Rav Huna bar Chinina, Gesundheit. If you go and follow Ula, Gesundheit, I'm not going to take a stand. So tomorrow night, Yosef Rav Chinina bar Idikami derav Adar bar Ahava, Yosef Ka'oma. Oyvik Kachom Shehevi Areva. Areva, says Rashi, is a Svina Ktana. A clean chiga boat. Okay. He brought a small boat, Malaya Chovyois, full of barrels. The name is Kilbis. Oh, now we come back to our Kilbis. What do we remember? What did we say about the Kilbis? Although the Kilbis is a non-kosher fish, but it loves to swim around in the tzir of kosher fish. If, on the other hand, if among the tzir there's at least one non-kosher fish, then the dog of Kilbis says, that's not for me. I'm not going to go and swim in this tzir. Okay, so what happens? Oyvi Chavim brought an Areva Malei Chavius. Venim tis Kilbis Biachas Mehenna. They found the Kilbis in one of these barrels. Psuchois Kulan Mutares. All the barrels that were Pasuach are all Mutter based on the Kilbis in one of the open barrels. Stumois Hi Mutares for Kulan Asuris. What is the Gemara telling us? So Rashi explains, if you have Lumoshul, 10 barrels on this fish, on this ship, on this boat. And one of them has a kilbis achas. And the others do not. So until now, we said, there's no kilbis, no tiki, no washi. There's no kilbis, you can't rely, and you have to assume that there may be non-kosher fish. Says our Gemara, nay. Because you had a whole bunch of barrels together on the same boat, and one of them had a kilbis in it, then all of the psuchais are fine, they're kosher. Why? But they didn't have a kilbis in them. Says Rashi, because they could have had a kilbis previously and they jumped out. If you look at the Rashi halfway down the Amud, in the Rashi's Kulan Mutarois, says Rashi, Dechi Hechi Dehav Bahach, Havinami Bekulu, V'Azluli Alma. See, Morris is a very interesting svar. On the top of the Amud, we said that if you find a chavius, which is pasuach, and it has one kilbis in it, we said, dos nishkaraya. You know why? A fish fell in, this kilbis fish fell from somewhere else, into this barrel, it's not there intentionally, it fell in. So therefore, no rai. That's what you have to have, two kosher fish. Over here we're talking about the psuchois, how come I don't find a kilbis b'kalachas v'yachas? I would have thought because it's probably some non-kosher fish. No! They were originally kilbis in everywhere. However, as they're going on the high seas, remember talking about they came in a boat, could very well be that the kilbis said, ooh, I smell the water out there, and that smells much better than the lousy tzir in this barrel, and the kilbis jumped out, and now is swimming in the high seas. Ah, so therefore, Jacques Digmara, as long as one of them has kilbis achas behem, all of them are kosher, because I'm going to assume that there was kilbis in each one, and they jumped out. Now you're going to ask, one second, Rabbi Yossi. Now, l'choyde, you have a kasha, but didn't we say at the top, that if it was pesuach, you have to have shtei kilbiyos mi boyer. Remember, look at the top two lines of the Gemara. Hashe kilbis achas amrit shori, shtei kilbiyos mi boyer. L'kasha kam b'psuchais. So the Rashi said, by psuchais l'sagi b'choda, one is not enough, because it might have just fallen in from someone. You have to have two. But here it says, and it's just kibul ba'achas man, it's kosher. So this, again, this is not my kasha, this is Toys' kasha. And Toys' says, even though the Gemara uses the expression kilbis ba'achas, he doesn't mean one kilbis ba'achas man, he means the hechsher of kilbis ba'achas man. What's the hechsher of kilbis? There have to be two. See, the Toys' nimtis kilbis, pirish hechsher kilbis, hainu shtayim b'psuchis. So you have now the 10 open barrels on this boat, and one of the barrels has two kilbis fish. The others have no kilbis fish. They're all kosher, because I'm going to assume that they initially all had two kilbis, and the other kilbisin all jumped out and into the yam, and that's why they're all mutter. However, if they're still mice, if I find kilbis be'achas mehen, that one is kosher, because he has kilbis. But all the others, obviously the kilbis didn't jump out, because they're all sealed barrels. Therefore, they are osir. Amalei min al-chaha. This is a gevaldik chiddush. Where do you take this from? See, now he says a beautiful, beautiful vart. He says, mitlosa kroy. I found it in three psukim in the Torah. Which three psukim? Shemieli meirav u'shmuel v'rabbi Yochanan. Rav and Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan are not psukim. Says Rashi, middle of the Amid. Megimel chachomim gedoylem shehem kedai lismoich aleihem ki al ha-mikra. These three groisa poskim, these three groisa gedoylem, it's as if you're reading it from the Chumash. That's the expanse of their knowledge and their depth of Yediyah Satoira. I rely on them as if I'm learning a posik in Chumash. Rabbi Yosef Yotub Seshala.
What's bigger, a chavis or an areva?
A chavis or?
Areva.
Areva, areva, lechoyrov. Areva is not the chavis itself, right? Areva is a svina ketana. It's a small boat. On the boat, there are chavisim. If you have a small boat, it's not a huge svina, twice a huge Queen Mary, Queen Elizabeth, that can hold 2,000 people. It's a Revik Tana, can hold 3 people and 5 or 10 barrels of fish. Okay, we're going to continue on, Rabbi Yisai, now, and we're going to leave the entire fish and the tzir, and we're going to talk about the Kirvei Dogim, the Ubran. Omra Bruna Omarav, Kirvei Dogim. Kirvei means the innards of the Dogim. In other words, if you've ever been to the fishmonger and you have whole fish, he cuts open the fish and he takes out all the stuff in the middle, and typically he just throws it into the refuse basket and you get the rest of the fish. They clean it out from the kirvei dog. Ubron is what in fancy English it's called roe, R-O-E, which means the eggs of the fish. Oh, so what's the din about the innards of the fish and the eggs of the fish? A nimchen ella min hamumcha. If you happen to be a nebuch, a very poor fellow, and you're buying the kirvei dogim, most places they just toss this in the wastebasket because there's no demand, no interest. But unfortunately, there are people that are poor, and therefore they'll rather eat the kirvei dogim rather than not eating anything. Or the ubran, or the eggs, or the roe of the fish. Roe, in turn, is, in fact, it depends on the fish. Roe of some fish is very, very valuable, and people pay a lot of money for it. But your standard ubran, your standard roe, also that's something that people would normally toss. What's the din about these, kirvei dogim ubran? Obviously, you cannot tell whether they have snapir v'kaskeses, nor can you tell whether you have roish chad and whether it has a shedra, because we're talking about the innards and the babies. Not the babies, we're talking about the eggs. So, ein nichen ella min ha-mumcha. You have to have a mumcha. In other words, a mumcha who can go and look at it and say, yo, 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 this is from a kosher fish, I recognize it, nothing to worry about. But otherwise, you can't possibly eat from it. It's Ramalei Ula Rab Distoy Demin Biri. Midik Omer Rav, Kivi Dog Me Ubra, Eni Kol Min Ma Mumcha, Mechlal De Dag Tami Islei Uber. What you're telling me is that both kosher fish and non-kosher fish can have roe, R-O-E, can have eggs, and therefore you have to have a mumcha to distinguish between these eggs and those eggs. Frank Tamara Mini. We have a Braisa, Dag Tomei Mashrit, Dag Tohar Matul Beim. There's a fundamental difference between a non-kosher fish and a kosher fish. A non-kosher fish doesn't have eggs. L'moshel, just like an animal that gives birth. A fowl, birds that give birth, they all have eggs, typically. Mashenkin, if you're talking about behemoths, you don't find that when a cow gives birth to a calf, that it comes in a shell like an egg. It comes out fully grown calf. Same thing, dag tummy mashrit comes out of the womb of the dog, a non-kosher fish mashrit, the actual fish itself. Dag tor matal bayim. If that's the case, why are you telling me you have to have a mumcha to tell whether the ubran, whether these bayim, are from a kosher fish, a non-kosher fish? By definition, they're from a kosher fish, because a non-kosher fish doesn't have bayim. Mara gives two answers. Answer number one is sami mikan ubran. You're right. Take out the word ubran. Let it just say umravuna umrav. Kirvei dogim einichen el minamumcha. Because ubran, by definition, are kosher. Omalei Reb Zeira. Loy. Yes, please.
You know, caviar. Not all caviar is kosher. Caviar is gross.
Very good point. So that's your point, Bill, is the same point as Reb Zeira. Omri Reb Zeira. Loy tismi. Do not take it out. Because travayu matile beyim ninu. Both the kosher fish and the non-kosher fish have beyim, have eggs. Just like Bill has now testified a moment ago. Shkoyech Bill. Ella, Zokt Reb Zeira, there's another difference. El zemashish mi bechutz, zemashish mi bifnim. What does that mean? When the female fish are developing and are reproducing new fish, obviously everything starts inside the body until the fish are ready to be born. Zemashish mi bechutz. What does that mean? Zemashish mi bifnim. It means both of them taka have eggs. Like Bill has just attested to and certified and verified, even the caviar, even the non-kosher fish have eggs. The question, however, is when do the new fish, the baby fish, when do they emerge from their eggs? Do they emerge when they're still inside the boach, inside the mommy's stomach, the mommy's womb? So by the time it comes out, la'avera oilam, it's already in the form of a grown fish. Or do you say, no, 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 no. What happens is that the mommy fish pushes out and lays the eggs of the baby fish, and then only subsequently, those eggs crack open and new fish emerge from those eggs. So what's the difference between one and the other? So if you look at Rashi, Zemashash mi bechutz, see Rashi, again, halfway down the Rashi, Zemashash mi bechutz, Dag tohar, li acha shehut lebeit sosoi, mashretzes, Boimedes me'eleha. Here it says b'choil. However, they change the gears. So the Bach says b'chutz. So the dag tor has in it those bayim, and then it lays the eggs so that they come out. Avul dag tor may mashrits mi b'fnim b'me'ev aim la'achish enigmor and bayev b'me'ev. So you and I, if we were doing a scientific study of the fish, when we came to a dag tomei, we wouldn't see the roe or see the eggs, because the new non-kosher baby fish come out as fish from the b'nei me'ayim, from the womb of the mommy fish. But in the case of the doctor, the doctor says as soon as its bayim are ready, the eggs, it emits the bayim. They come out now from the body, and now you see the bayim outside. So getting back to the point that Bill was making before, according to our Gemara, when you buy or see the roe of the caviar, it means that they've extracted it from inside the womb of the mommy caviar, because if you would wait until the caviar lays new fish, or creates new fish, reproduces new fish, then you're not going to see the eggs outside the womb, because they stay inside the mashish b'befnim, and the new fish emerge and come out. So, how do you get it? You have to go and take the caviar and slaughter it, kill it, whatever, when it still has the eggs inside. Now you remove the eggs, and they're not going to lay eggs. It's not like the kosher fish that lay eggs, but they have the eggs inside, and you have to take them out. So getting back, so omelet abzeira loitis meat, travayamati lebay, alzeh mashim b'chutz, and now mashim b'fthim. Freyti mara, lomeli mumcha, livdoit b'simonim. The Gemara is going to bring now a braisa that there are simonim on the row of the fish as well. Obviously not snapping the kaskasis, but a different type of simon. The sign you state in the braisa. Kisimoni bayim kach simoni dogim. Just like an egg of a fowl, meaning of a bird, has simonim, the dogim, they also have simonim. Zokti mor, 1 second. Simoni dogim solka taitach. The lotion of braisa is very difficult. It says just like you have simonim on a beya, we'll see in a moment what the simonim of kosher eggs is. So is the simon on dogim. Dogim means the fish themselves. Frank Demara, simonim dogim so kadaitach. Simonim dogim are the snapper v'kaskasas ksivuhu. Like we said already, Shekhnodin Toyodim, Parsha Shmini, and Parsha Sriye. As well as we talked about before, the head of the fish and whether they had a shedra. But that doesn't apply to bayim. Bayim don't have a shedra. Bayim don't have snapper v'kaskasas. How are we equating eggs of a bird to dogim, to fish? Ella, we have to add one key word, Rabbi Sai. We start with the Brisa again. Kisimoni beyim kach simonei ubrei dogim. Ah, just like you have the eggs of fowl, of birds, so too you have the simonim on the eggs of fish. The eilehen simoni beyim, what are those? Kol shekoideres v'agugoyles. It happens to be koideres v'agugoyles. What's meant koideres v'agugoyles? Rashi says koideres means mishucha, that rechova b'roisha, I'm looking at Rashi about 10 lines before the end, koideres mishucha, it's long, shirochva b'roisha echad, on one side it is broad, v'ileches mekateres v'nemshachas, and it gets smaller and smaller on the other side. Think in terms of the eggs that you go and buy in the store, it's always wider on top, right? They put them in these egg containers. Notice in the bottom of the container, the egg that is put in is much narrower on the bottom, and it's wider on top. That's the koideres. V'agugoylis, says Rashi, means agula mitzideo umigalgeles. That around it, not, don't look at the top and on the bottom. Look at the egg in the middle. It is round and migalgeles, and of course you leave it on the table, you're not careful, it'll roll off the table onto the floor. Ah, so therefore, just like you have that by regular eggs of regular chickens, regular oifois, same thing, kosher. There is v'agugoylis. One side is more kad, says Rashi, means like a barrel, which means that it is flat and that it is wide. The other side comes to a point, it's much more narrow. That's tahira. And the same thing applies to the ubre dogim, the same thing. If both sides come to a point, or both of them happen to be wider and flat, that's tahira. No, not kosher. Similarly, when you open up the fish, I'm sorry, not the fish, when you open up the egg, now we all know when you open up eggs, the middle is the yolk, and from the outside of the yolk you have the white. Chelboin mi bachut, v'chelboin bimefnim. Chelboin is from Lashon like cholov, which means white, like white milk. So that's the white of the egg. If you have the chelboin bachut, when you open up the egg and you see that the outside of the egg inside the shell is the yolk, and smack in the middle of the yolk you find the white of the egg. In other words, v'nehapachu, the exact opposite of our eggs, then it's tamei. It's a non-kosher egg, meaning an egg from a non-kosher bird. However, chelbim b'chutz, if the white is on the outside, chelbim b'fnim, and the yolk is on the inside, that's tar, that's kusha v'yusha. And if you have chelbim v'chelmai murov and zebeseh, what happens if you open up the egg and you see that the yolk and the white are all mixed together? Zui beyes asheretz, it's not even from a bird, a kosher bird, non-kosher bird, it's from a reptile, from a sheret. Ah, so bottom line is, Zoktun Zvi Gemara, that there are simonim of eggs from fish. What do you have to have a mumcha for? Just look at those eggs and see whether it's kad, it's chad. Open up the shell and see what's going on inside. The white is on the outside, the white is on the inside. Vostavanu ma mumcha. Amarava kishini moichu. It's talking about that these are already older eggs, if you will, that did not develop into full-fledged fish, and they are dissolving. In other words, they're already kind of liquidy. So you don't see anymore the simonim of the kad metachad and open it up, because it's showing it's not in its pristine form. Okay, so I have to have a mumcha. Remember, Rabbi Yisroel said, take out Obron, because non-kosher fish don't have eggs. And that's what got Bill so upset before. Vatanya, we just said, now, kisimoni, beim kachsimoni, ubrei dogim. So I see that there are eggs, even of non-kosher fish, and that's why I have to have the simonim. Because without those simonim, I wouldn't know if it's kosher or non-kosher. Yet, this man, the Omar, Rav Destoy, said, sinishdo ka ro ka eggs of non-kosher fish. And furthermore, lav terutze kam tartisla. Remember, this brisa initially was very schwer, because the lashon of brisa was that kisimoni beyim kachsimoni dogim. We had to throw in the word kachsimoni ubre dogim. I'm not going to throw in the word ubre, but rather I'm going to go and end for kachsimoni kirve dogim. They're just like eggs of fowl, of birds. They have these simonim that we enumerated on the omid aleph, chad and kad and the chelmoin and the chelboin. Same thing applies to the kirve dogim. Kirve dogim? Kirve dogim means the innards. The innards come to a point and they're wider and they're smaller. Doesn't sound right. Veich mishkachem simoni kirve dogim, shehei kad v'chad, mishkachem slav bishulfucha. V'saisa shulfucha, Rashi on the third line says some sort of masiyah, shel dag shemaleya ruach. So this is an organ or a cavity inside the fish that is full of ruach, full of air. The Art Scroll translates shulfucha as being a bladder full of air. And what is the importance of a bladder full of air? Apparently, Yekodesh Baruch Hu gave enough seichel into the fish that the fish wants to float. It blows up its bladder by letting a lot of air into it, and therefore it becomes like a float, and it floats. On the other hand, if this fish wants to go and submerge itself into the water, it lets the air out of that bladder, and then it swims down below. Ah, so that's shulfucha. On one side, if it's chad, and the other side, it's kad, then you know that those are the simonim, just like the simonim bayim of birds. That would mean that this shulfucha is also of a kushra fish. If one side is kad, and one side is chad. Then that's all good if you have a mumcha. Imein shem mumcha mai. What do I do? I'm coming into the fish store. He's enticing me to go and buy the kirvei dogim or the ubrei dogim, but nobody there is a mumchas. I don't know if it's a kosher or non-kosher. On Rabbi Yehuda kim di omba ani malachdim mutar. If the fishmonger says, I was the one that salted it, and therefore and I saw that the fish that I salted were kosher fish, and I took out these kirbayim and these ubrim from that fish that I salted, mutarim, you can rely on that it's kosher. Rav Nachman Omer Ad Sheyomer Eilu Dogim Eilu Kirveim. It's not enough that he testifies about himself. I went and salted the original mammy fish, but it's not here anymore because that was sold. It's out of the store. It's not here. The only thing which is left is kibayim and ubrim. Rav Yehuda says as long as he said ani malachdim and it was kosher fish and these are the kibayim and ubrim, mutter. Nachman says no. The fishmonger has to be able to point to two shelves. On this shelf, here are the kibayim. Here are the ubrim, and on this shelf are the dogim, and these kibayim and ubrim come from these fish. So he shows you that they're from the same fish, then you can rely on that. Oyrele Rav Yehuda le'ada daila. Rav Yehuda paskin for ada daila. What's mean daila? Rashi says daila means a caterer or someone working for a caterer. Really? Yes, look at Rashi, 10 lines from the top. Daila is a shamiz, like a waiter. Roga liois sochir. He is hired to go and make a suda for someone and to prepare all the food. In other words, like a caterer. Right? You're making a simcha and many, many people. You can't cook everything yourself. You call a caterer and he is the shamis and he is the one that prepares the whole suda and he himself is the waiter or he hires waiters. So that's what Adda's profession was. He was in the catering business. He told him, "Kim di amani malachtim." If the fishmonger said, "I myself salted the fish, and I extracted the kibayim and the ubrim from this fish," and that's what's over here on the table on this shelf, just out from the kosher fish, and you rely on him, and
you
it's
don't need that.
Sorry,
you don't need that.
What do you mean you don't need them?
You don't need the both. Hashem eidum ve'kibayim.
The Gemara said, if I have a mumcha, then I don't need any simonim. I just ask the mumcha. The mumcha says, yes, I recognize that these are kosher. What happens if I don't have a mumcha? We had a machloikis, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda says, as long as he says, ani malachtim, and Rashi said on the fourth line, what means ani malachtim, is Rashi, hadogim, I salted the fish myself, for isi shadogim toyrim hin, and as I was salting it, I saw that there are plenty of snapper the kaskeses, umehen, and from them, hoitseisi kirbayim alolo. I scooped out these kirbayim, instead of throwing it out in the rubbish bin, they're here on the table, on this plate, if you want to buy them, it's a metziah, a quarter of a dollar, for 100 pounds of these kirbayim and the ubrim. That's enough. Said Rav Nachman, no, that's not enough. He has to be able to point with his finger and say, these are the dogim. You see the dogim. Look at the dogim. Yeah, I see the snapper kaskeses. These are the kibayim from that dog. Oh, this is good. How did Rabbi Yehuda paskin? Like his lishitosa. Rabbi Yehuda says, kim de omani malachtim is mutter. So it's not only that he said that, you know, learning, but halacha lemaisi told adadayla. As soon as you see, if even though you can't see the original fish was sold and eaten, but ani malachtim is mutter. Good. And we continue back in the Mishnah of Allah, shel chiltis, if you have the leaves of the chiltis fruit. Remember, the previous Mishnah said if you have a cordial chiltis, it's osur b'achila. And the Gemara explained the reason is because you cut it with a knife, and because the chiltis happens to be rather sharp, twice, maybe you'd say that it's acidic, something similar to lemushel to a lemon, or maybe a piece of pineapple, which have a very sharp taste. So we learned the Gemara yesterday, if you were to go and cut that piece of lemon, piece of pineapple, whatever, that has that sharp taste, they extract the blios, which are inside the knife, even though all of those blios until now were old from, it's Eina Ben Yoimai, it's Nois and Tamlev Gam, however, the strength of the chiltis is such that they make a chozer v'neyor at chias ameisim on those blios, that the blios are no longer noisen tam lefgam, they're noisen tam lishvach. That's what we learned yesterday in the Gemara. But that's talking about that you're cutting up the fruit itself. Here we're talking about the leaves of the chiltis fruit. What could be a problem with the leaves? You don't cut leaves with a fancy schmancy knife. And even if you did, that doesn't have that same acidic type of quality that it would cause the blios to turn from bad to good, and therefore passel these alim. I don't understand what the Mishnah is saying. Pshita! You don't cut it with a knife in there. That means you find in a container these leaves of the chiltis fruit, and besides that you find korten, pieces of the chiltis fruit. So now the question is, where are these korten from? That maybe, besides the alim of the chiltis and the korten, meaning the chiltis fruit, which are related to these alim, in other words, these alim of chiltis don't grow in a vacuum. They were attached to a chiltis. I find now in a container both the alim and the korten, meaning the actual fruit themselves. Now the question is, are these fruit related to these alim? And do I say that therefore they are kosher? Or do I say maybe no, that a couple of these pieces of the chiltis maybe was cut with a non-kosher knife, and therefore the person was ma'ariv. He put together different chiltis, and some chiltis which were strictly kosher, not cut, uncut whatsoever, and the other cut pieces which he cut with a non-kosher knife, and therefore maybe the whole thing is no good. I have to be noivis. What does that mean? Rashi says the word ishtruki means they kind of slipped, it was slippery. You have the alin, you put the alin into a kli, and because the fruit, the chiltis fruit, were presumably rather heavy, they fell off, or they slipped off of the alin. So now when you find your container with alin and the korten, with the chiltis fruit, don't be noivous that maybe the person is selling you this container. He had fruit from previously, which he had cut with a non-kosher knife. No, you don't have to worry about it. You can assume that these fruit belong to these alim, and it's all kosher b'yush. And similarly, zesikus koyis hamagugol. We had in the Mishnah that if you have, normally today you buy a cake of figs or a cake of dates. In the good old days, they used to all to sell cakes of zesim, of olives. Maybe they still do that today. But anyway, if you have zesim like a gluska, gluska we have in Masechtas Psachim is gluska yofa, gluska yefefia, which there it's referring to that you find during Pesach a delicious Danish. Here the word gluska is also a cake, but not cake made of flour and water, but a cake of figs. And hamagugolim, which are circular. Well, like a cake of figs here, but it's not figs. Here we're talking about a cake of zesim of olives. You have nothing to worry about. You can go and buy it, even from a goy, and mutalach. What's the chiddush? You're talking about zaysim. What could be wrong with a zayis, with an olive? Of olive is about as kosher. So when you're buying the cake, you see that it's quite soft and quite weak, and if you're not careful, this whole cake could platz, and instead of having one nice round cake of zesim, you might find yourselves with 100 zesim in your fingers, in your hands. So afagav the rofi tuba. So ma'u to say mechamra rama behu. You know the reason why it is so soft and it's falling apart, because as part of the marketing and selling of these zesim to make them look pretty and shine, maybe the storekeeper poured some wine on them and now they smell good and they look good, and therefore you're not allowed to buy them because they have non-kosher wine. Kamashul and the Chiddush of Mishnah is, you know why they're rafi tuva, why they're falling apart? Hani machmas mishchuhu de rafi, because of the fact that they have oil. the oil, the contents of the zeisim, that's what made them soft. Not that you poured in wine from somewhere else, but the natural oozing of the mohel or of the shemen from the zeisim, that's what makes it soft. And therefore, it's kosher v'yusha, you have nothing to worry about. There's no wine involved. It's good. And then the Mishnah continued on. Rabbi Yosi oy mishlochin asurim. If they were not in the form of this gluska of this cake, but in the form of shlochim, then it's osur. Frank Timur, what does that mean? Hey, chidom shlochim, what do you mean? Om Rabbi Yosi bachanina kosha oichse biyodoi. The gari nosoi nishmetes. That you're talking about an individual zayas. It is so soft. When you pick it up, then the garin, the pit inside the zeisim slips out on its own. That's how soft it is. So how could that possibly be that the zayis is so soft that the pit just slips out? Here says Rashi, you have to worry about that Itaka poured in some wine and that made it so soft. So when you have it still in the form of a cake and it's soft, you don't have to worry about that he poured in wine. You can just assume it's the natural shemen. Says Rabbi Yosi, that's going to be talking about a cake. But if you're talking about individual zeisim, where the pits are falling out on their own, got to be noivis that he poured in some wine, and therefore it's us. Hachagav maboyin, if you go and buy haishrikin, haishrikin are grasshoppers. So it depends, said the Mishnah. Are they in the selula? Selula means in the basket, from a Lashon Sal, then you have to be noivus. The chagom we're talking about are already dead chagom, they're not jumping around. And remember, we had the Rashi yesterday, chagom does not require shchita. So if you have these dead grasshoppers, to keep them moist and to keep them fresh, they would go and put them in a selula, in a sal, and they add a liquid. What liquid did they add? You have to be noivus that they added wine to keep them moist and fresh and gishmak. However, said the Mishnah, if instead of being in a selula, it was rather in a heftake. Heftake means it was in storage, in a storage barrel that were not opened yet. Then you can assume that there was no wine poured into that. So getting back to the brisa, hachagavim, these are the grasshoppers. Kafrisim. Rashi doesn't explain over here what kafrisim means, but you remember we had 2 days ago in the Gemara, Ulza kafrisim, and Rashi there said kafrisim means the shoyimel apri, that's the shell or the husk of a caper berry. Those types of husks and shells are edible. So if you have those kafrisin, those shells, peels of the caper berry, the kaflutis is leek, L-E-E-K. Haboyim in a oitzer, and you, the seller is bringing them out from the oitzer, in other words, from his storage. Umin a heftek is also a form of storage. Or min a svina from the boat where you had these containers. Again, what's a din and all of them? Mutarim. They're all mutar. Because you don't have to worry about any wine being mixed with them. However, Hanum Karim de Katluza, Katluza explains Rashi, if you look at the Aleph of the Series of Shazar, Tisefta, actually it's an Aleph of the Goyf Tzionim, is another Gears in that Katluza, Beslula, Lefnei Chenveni, in the store itself. In other words, these Chagovim, he didn't take it out now of the storage. Yeah, was it Rashi of Katluza? Shik, okay, in the shuk, in the market. Good, shkoyach, in the market. So therefore you find it in the store. You go into this grocery store and you find open barrels or open plates, open containers, full of chagovim, kafrisim, kaflutois, etc. Now I have to be worried, asur, mishum, shemizalef, yayin, aleyin, to preserve them. And so that they should look good and they should smell good, they put some wine into them. And of course wine, you always have to worry about yayin nesach or stam yenum. And the same thing applies to yayin tapuchim shel oiv dekechavim. Yayin tapuchim is what we would call today apple cider from goyim. Haboy mina oitzim mina heptikum mina slula. Here the slula is the wrong gear system. It should rather be mina svina like we had before. If you bring it from storage, mutarim. Why? Because he didn't mix in any wine into it. Hanimke bekaluza. However, if you have this large barrel of apple cider, you know, it's not like today that you buy closed containers that have in it wine, water, apple cider. You had to go and bring your own kalim and draw from the larger kli. So this is nimka bekatluza in the store. Also, nishim aram b'yayin, to keep the apple cider fresh and gishmak, they poured in some wine, and therefore you have a problem of stam yenim or yayin esim. Turn about. Pamachas chosh Rebbe b'meyav. One time, Rebbe had a stomachache, some sort of problem with his meyai. Omar, and said Rabbi, klum yesh odem sheidea yein tapuchim shaloy dechom osrei mutter. My doctor told me that apple cider is very good for this particular machla, and there are no Jewish moichrim around that sell the yain tapuchim. There are goyim. Tell me, is it osur or mutter? Because if it's mutter, I'd like to go and buy it. Apparently there was no pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, you'd be able to go and take it, even if it's osur. But I want to go and drink this apple cider. Is it mutter, osur, omelefon of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi? I'll tell you, pam achas. One time, chosh abba b'meyav. Rabbi Shmuel is saying about his father, Rabbi Yossi. He had the same type of sickness. Ve'vilo yayin tebuch shel oivdei kechavim. Shel. Listen, Rabbi Yossi. Shel ayin shana. 70 years old. Vishasa, and he drank from it, Venisrape, and it kahat ayrafua, Baruch Hashem, my father, Rabbi Yossi, drank from that, yin tapuchim, and it was kishmak, and he had refuah. Omaloi, so Rabbi got a little annoyed. He said, Kolkach hoye biyodcha, the atabitzareni, you knew about this story, and you never told me. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi must have been a very close Talmud of Rabbi, and he knew that Rabbi had all types of stomach ailments from time to time. The Gemara elsewhere says that Rebbe was mispala that he should have Yisurim on this world to go and clean him out for the next world. And those Yisurim were so painful. Gemara says when he was in the Beis HaKisei and he had to, unfortunately, either urinate or defecate, he made such koyle koyles you could hear it miles away. But the point of all of this is, Rabbi Shmuel, why don't you tell me about this din, that the Yayin Tapuchim is good, Shleit Rechavim, and it's Kusha V'Yusha. And says Yimara, Bodku Umatsu, just like in the times of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, actually in the times of Rabbi Yossi, they found the Yain Tapuchim Shal Ayin Shana, Bodku Umatsu, Oyvichom Echad, Shayulay Sholosh Meyoiz Garbi, he had 300 barrels, Yain Shal Tapuchim, this apple cider, Shal Ayin Shana, Taka of 70 years old, Vishasa and Rebbe followed in the footsteps of Rabbi Yossi, he drank from the 70 year old apple cider, Venice Rape. Omar, and then he said, Rabbi Nishloidim Shkoyach, thank you. Baruch HaMokoyim Shemosr Eilama L'Shoimrim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has people on this world that are going to keep Yayin Tapuchim for 70 years, which Baruch Hashem gave me a tremendous refuah. What is the Gemara telling us, bottom line? That as long as it was in a closed barrel. Obviously, we're not talking about Yayin Tapuchim that was open in the marketplace for 70 years and people didn't want to drink from it and it was lying around for 70 years. We mean that it was taka in a sealed barrel somewhere and now we're opening it for the first time. So we said that you only have to worry about it if it's bislula, that it's out in the open, the katluza bishuk shim'arvin boyayin. But if it's in good shmira inside a barrel, you didn't put the wine in. That's why it's kush l'chatchili, you don't have to worry about it. And Rebbe drank from it, and he had a refuah. Finally, the Mishnah ends off after we talked about.
First, he gave him the apple cider, 70-year-old, and then again, what's he saying?
No. He told the master. Rebbe asked his talmidim, "Does anybody know whether the yain tapuchim is kosher or not?" Everybody was silent except Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yossi raised his hand and he said, "Rebbe, I'll tell you a master shahoya. My father once had the same stomach cramps that you have. And he drank the 70-year-old, and Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah." So then he said, "Why didn't you tell me until now?"
The article says if Kiss would have had Yayin, it wouldn't have been the sky for 27 years.
Oh, so Rabbi Yosef adds, how do we know, Taka, that they didn't add any wine to the Yayin Tapuchim? Because adding the wine would have spoiled it. Instead of making it better, it would have made it worse. It would have spoiled after 70 years. You'd smell the stench from a mile away. Therefore, must be that it was taka sealed in a sealed barrel. It wasn't out in the open. When it's out in the open, even though eventually it's going to go bad if you add wine, but initially the wine will add gishmak, a nice smell, a nice aroma, and people will want to go and drink from this yain tapuchim asesoy gishmak. Okay, right. The Mishnah yesterday ended off. We started the Mishnah. Ve'il mutorim ba'achila, and we had a whole list. And then we said at the end, v'chein the truma, the same thing applies to truma. Frey to Yimara, my v'chein the truma, what do we mean v'chein the truma? Amr of Sheishas. V'chein the koyin ha-choshed limkar truma l'shem chulen. L'fanavu di aser, avabah min ha-oitzer min ha-heftik, min ha-slula, or min ha-svina, mutter. What is this all about? So we distinguish between l'moshel, the chagovim, and the yayin tapuchim, and all those other things that we spoke about. That if they are coming out of the storage, you don't have to worry that they added wine. Kusha. And if it happens to be out in the open in the store, then you have to worry about the added wine. Same thing applies to a kohen who unfortunately is choshed to sell truma l'shem chulin. Why would anybody sell truma l'shem chulin? Says Rashi, because truma is worth much less in the market than chulin. Why? Because there's no major demand. Everybody in Klal Yisrael, everybody in the world, needs to go and eat from chulin. However, only kohanim can eat from truma. So therefore, truma is only twice, 50% of the price, maybe even less than that. And therefore, you have to eat like Nebuch, like you had 20 years ago in Muncie, that there was a from a yid that was selling non-kosher meat for kosher meat, because the difference in price is great. And therefore, he went and sold it non-kosher as if it was kosher. A big scandal, I'm sure, as you recall. So you had the same thing over here. It was really truma. But truma is not going to go and command a big price. So he put a big sign. Kan moichim chulin. Ah, so says he what? Lafana vudi asr. If it's in the store itself, you have to worry about this is taka truma. But if he's bringing it out from the oiter, from the heftika, from the slula, from the svina, in other words, from deep storage, mutter, you don't have to worry about that he's calling it chulin or truma. If he's calling it chulin, it's bona fide chulin. And if it's truma, he'll tell you it's truma. What's the difference? Before we said the difference is begabe, if you add the wine, you don't add the wine. If you're going to add the wine to the storage, it's going to spoil. It's going to have a terrible stench. Therefore, you don't have to worry. But if it's out in the open, they add wine to make it more geschmack, more appealing. It has a nice aroma. But what does it have to do with truma and chulin? So you want to add that? Nothing to do with that. Here it's irsuse mirsas. He has storage. By definition, storage, he has 5, 10, 20 boxes full of barrels full of truma or of chulin. Here in the store, he only has this, you know, one container. So if he's going to go and sell truma and he's going to call it chulin and he's going to have that in storage and the rabbis are going to hear about it, says Yimar Susi Mir, says he's terrified, he's scared. Sover Shami Bir Rabbanan, the Rabbanan are going to hear, Umisli Minar, they're going to say, my entire storage, I have storage of 100 barrels of real chulin. If they're going to suspect that this is truma, they're going to say, Rabbi Yisai, truma, it's nishka chulin, and I'm going to lose my pants, I'm going to lose my money. So therefore, you don't have to worry about the deep, long-term storage, but you do have to worry about that what he's selling here in the store, maybe in fact it's truma, and not chulin. Han lochim aminen, lochim aminen, or aminen. Tomorrow we're going to start the new parak, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful day, and zag yibench, and zag yisai.
Thank you.
Thank you.